Welcome back to Off the Record, a Gerstner Adam Law podcast. My name is Paul Adam.
Colin Gerstner.
And today we have a special guest, Mr. Ryan Kramer.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Great. We're excited. We're going to try to make an effort to trot out some guests here that, you know, help shape our community. Paul and I grew up here, much like yourself. And there are a lot of people out here that do a lot of good work, make our community better, and you're one of them.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, we're excited to hear all about it. Ryan is a man that needs some level of introduction here. I've known him a long time, and his present role is as the executive director of Family Service.
Yes.
What is Family Service?
So Family Service, first and foremost, 501c3 nonprofit here in Yellowstone County. We essentially exist with this tiny little goal of really eradicating homelessness and poverty and hunger in Yellowstone County, which I say that in jest because that's a job that's never going to be done. But at the base core of what we do, we focus on feeding and clothing and furnishing individuals who are facing poverty in Yellowstone County.
I mean, are these families coming to you? Do you seek them out? I mean, how do you find the families that are in need?
In a nutshell, yes. People coming in through our doors on a daily basis who are in need. Typically, when people think of us, they think about us for supplemental food. So anyone who passes through our doors who's looking for additional support, with supplemental food, we kind of talk about the breath test. If you come in and you tell me you're hungry, you're walking out with food. So we do have to do a couple of demographic questionnaires about, you know, where are you at so that we can turn that back into the state, USDA, federal government, because we do have to fill out all the fun stuff for the feds.
Sure.
But beyond that, no one is ever going to leave without receiving that. So you can make $1 million or you can make $1. You're still going to get fed the same way. You can come to us once per week, and that's not like you came on Monday. You can't come again until Monday or Friday till Friday. We just say it's one time in that week. And then we just ask for you to shop for what your family needs. Don't go overboard, but we're really not here to judge on what you need when you're coming in. So for the most part, when people think about us, they really do think about us for the supplemental food side. On top of that, we offer rent support, utility support, deposit assistance. We have vision assistance. We have scholarship for better education. We have a thrift store. We can voucher clothes, and we even do free clothing. So yes, for the most part, the community knows us. But beyond what we do in the community, we deliver food as far east as Miles City. So we have a food bank, not our food bank, but we partner with Montana Food Bank Network sites across the state. So we deliver food as far east as Miles City, as far west as Big Timber, as far south as Bridger, and as far north as Lewistown. So when we say the numbers that we'll talk about today and we talk about who we serve those individuals in Yellowstone County, but we're Yellowstone County and our surrounding communities is what we always say. So we partner with Montana Food Bank Network, who's based out of Missoula, and then the USDA. We're the only USDA and MFBN drop site in the entire city.
And you mentioned before we started filming, you quantify this food in pounds that are coming through Family Service. I thought it was a pretty remarkable number.
So we've hit as high as 4 million pounds in a year before, and that is what we are physically giving out to individuals in need. The question that always comes up and follows up after this is like, well, how are we getting that? So because we are a partner of the Montana Food Bank Network, we can receive food from grocery stores who then get a write-off for food that is about to expire. So every Albertsons, Walmart, Sam's Club, anybody that's in Billings essentially would like to take advantage of that tax loophole. So they donate food to us. They get the incentive for it. It's pennies on the dollar. But one, it keeps food out of landfills. And two, it's feeding our neighbors in need. So that's the greatest support that we're receiving is just from local, you know, grocery stores and support like that. But then on top of that, Montana Food Bank Network is who's sourcing food from around really the region. They can get pennies on the dollar for food. So we can purchase from them if we need to. And so can all of those other sites like the Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul. All of these are entities that do exist within Montana Food Bank Network. So they'll drop that food off on my site and then they would pick up from us. But if they have a wish list essentially and say, hey, we could really use ground beef or chicken or whatever they request. If I have that within our inventory, we can help them out as well. So again, as we talk about going to Miles City and Lewistown and Bridger, we also have about 20 other organizations here in Billings that we support with food as well. So like I said, Montana Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, YWCA, any of those entities that you're thinking about for food support, we're helping those guys as well.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. You said something that was interesting. You said people can shop for food.
Yeah.
I obviously, it's not in a traditional sense of going to a supermarket. But I guess, how does that work? People show up and pick their meals or?
So what is interesting about this is it it is really in the traditional sense of a grocery store. We call it the client choice food pantry because it is literally your choice what you take. We are unique in that way where it's not a box of food that we put together and we pass out. So when you come in, you get scheduled, and we treat it like the DMV. So we have an online check-in platform online, obviously online. We schedule about eight households every 15 minutes. And then if you aren't able to use a cell phone or have, you know, a computer at home, walk in just like you would at the DMV. You get your number, and then when your number's called, you're going to go in. You get a grocery cart, and you shop our food pantry like it's a store. We're always going to have fresh produce. We'll always have bagged or canned produce. We will always have some sort of carbohydrate. We'll always have bread. We will always have canned food. But on top of that, we're always going to have fresh meat, whether that's going to be beef, chicken, fish, pork. We will always have that, usually one to three of those items. We're always going to have dairy items. We do partner with other nonprofits here. We talked about Family Promise before this started, and they're kind of the place that people go to for diapers and children's needs like that. But we do have diapers and wipes, baby food, not every single day, but we try to keep it stocked. So yeah, you're shopping for what you need for your groceries. On top of that, we have a thrift store. We sold about 275,000 items last year, and the average price was under $3. But if you can't afford that $3, we can also voucher items out. So a lot of situations we'll see are, you know, mom and children fleeing a domestic abuse situation with the clothes on their back. So they can come to us and ask to voucher items. We can do twin beds. We can do clothes for kids. And then even beyond that, now one time a week, we have a free day. So any item that we can't sell, whether, you know, there might be a small hole in it, there might be the tag that's missing, so I don't know the size of it, we put that into a free day. So now we're seeing anywhere between 300 and 500 families coming in on our Wednesday, which is the free day today.
Wow.
And yeah, completely free for what you're taking. Now that's not out of the store. We shut down our drive-through, and we fill that up with items starting at 9 a.m. until the end of the day. And yeah, so a lot of times we'll see, that's also senior day for us. So seniors will come in right around 8 o'clock, do shopping with us, do a free day. So we are one of the true full wraparound services and nonprofit in Yellowstone County. So long answer to a short question for the grocery side to it, but yes, we do treat it like a grocery store.
It's amazing. How many people per day would you say show up at the grocery store?
Well, I would guess 164, which is our exact number. So right now we're seeing that be our average. When we had the SNAP issues last fall, we were averaging right around 150 households per day. We went into the 220 range right after that. So for all of the SNAP shutdown, we were averaging over 200 families. It scaled back to about 175, and now we've settled in the past months right around that 164, 165 number every day.
Wow.
And those are families. Those aren't individuals. So the true number to that really is more like 400 people that we're serving on a daily basis. And the rough average is about 10,000 pounds of food that go out of our doors every single day.
And are those people who would otherwise face hunger if not for family service?
Yeah, and what we like to talk about is, again, it's a supplemental program. So we know that we are not going to be the only thing that you're going to be able to eat for that week. But the reality to it is that if we can cut your bill in half, then you can use those finances to offset something else. And the majority of the people who are coming in, the vast majority of the people who are coming in are working individuals. We're seeing a lot, we just did some statistics on this, a lot of seniors coming back to us, which we know this is happening. We know seniors were planning on retirement because of circumstances in the past several years, just with some inflation, some issues that, you know, outside of their own control, they have utilized us for their food. You know, they might be focused on just Social Security. That's the only way that they're going to receive any income. So, yeah, without this, you know, we hear it on a daily basis that, yeah, they would be going hungry. Excuse me, going hungry or having less than they'd like to have.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, you've been there. How long have you been there now?
So I've been there for 5 years. I've been the executive director for 3.
And I'm sure that you see, I mean, so many families, but I would imagine you build some connections with these folks. You know, you watch, you know, how those services help these families, you know, get off the ground. Maybe it's someone that came in, you know, just had a bad run of luck and needs just a small slice of time to get back on their feet. Or just people that just can't get out of it.
Yes, to both of those. So, okay. I mean, like, we see the cyclical issues for, you know, just generational poverty.
Yeah.
You know, and we can go on a whole tangent, a whole other podcast on generational poverty. But For those circumstances, what we're trying to do is break that cycle, and the way we can break that cycle is through education. So we do offer a program that is for bettering your education. We can scholarship individuals. You know, we've got great stories about when there was a kiddo a couple years ago who was a freshman MSUB. She got a scholarship to be a pitcher. It was partial. She had everything covered besides like her parking pass, her books, and a couple other expenses. She was the first in her family to go to college. Her mom was sick back home. And because of just those costs, she also couldn't work because she's a softball player. Yep. She had come to us and she had asked for the grant for this and basically just said, if I don't have some other income, I'm going to have to drop out. So I said, well, obviously don't do that. So we actually paid this for her for 3 years, graduated, and she ended up going into her master's program. So she's the first of her, you know, her house that's going to graduate. And I think she's now a radiology tech. We've had a lot of individuals come to us like this who've, you know, I came to you when I was a kid, my parents got food, and I've come to you now for rent, and now I'm trying to get the scholarship for education. We know a couple other individuals who've now gone through their master's programs, and they've broken that cycle. Second to that with, you know, is it a generational issue, or is it just because of a, you know, something bad luck? That's the other side that we see. A lot of people going about their day-to-day, everything's going good, and you're hit with a medical bill, and now you're bankrupt. We've seen that so many times where now you can never, you know, pay off this medical bill. And you're either going to be faced with paying your rent, paying your utilities, or food. So if we can help with two of those things, it's going to keep you in your house. What we have funded for, you know, our rent and deposit assistance is an individual who is living in their home has to be served an eviction notice. Once they're served an eviction notice, we can then pay for the rent. But beyond that, I'm not allowed. It's not that we're not allowed to. It's just the policy is that you've shown that you've expended every other income before you've gone to receive funding from us. So we are keeping individuals in their homes. We also partner with the United Way and the Bezos dollars for individuals who now are homeless families who are working to get into a home. We can work with that as well. We can do deposit assistance. So, yeah, we see a myriad of issues, but we get to know these individuals because they might be coming to us for a short time or a long time in the sense of, you know, folks that are coming to us for a long time. We get to know their stories. And the best thing, honestly, for us, and this is, sounds like such an oxymoron, but like the best day is when they don't come to us anymore because we've gotten to them to a place where they can fund everything on their own. So it's awesome. We see about 100 new families every single month. Our numbers aren't going through the roof, though, so that tells us that we know some families are dropping off. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of everything day by day.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah, there's this unfortunate stereotype out there. A lot of people who receive these are, you know, to use a crude term, like welfare queens, yep. right? Just milking it. But it doesn't sound like that's the truth at all.
No, and actually, we just actually ran some new numbers on this. So right now, the percentage that we're seeing actually for working families is about 34% of the people that we see, but you can cross over with all these. So we have 46% are seniors, 30% are children under the age of 18, which is always usually the biggest number that you see when we talk about individuals living in poverty. That number is typically children because there's typically more than two in a household. And then working families, single parents, you can be more than one of those statistics.
Yeah.
But right now, 34% of the people that we see are dual income working families. The highest number is seniors who've come back. And they may be working as well. They may be on Social Security. But, yeah, the vast majority of the people that we see are dual-income working families who just, you know, for whatever reason, hit a string of bad luck. They're coming to us. But I would say it's, you know, it changes annually, but under 5% of the people that we're serving at any given time are actually individuals who would say, I am homeless at this time. We're keeping them out of homelessness. There's other nonprofits that exist for that exact purpose, which you're talking about, but it is that stereotype. It's that stigma. We talk about it a lot with client choice, how we want to do everything we can to have this sense of, you know, pride. And we never want to take that from you. We want to make it, you know, the best place that you can come and just say, look, I just need some help. Mm-hmm. And that is the vast majority of the people we're serving.
You know, a lot of our listeners are Billings locals, you know, business owners. You know, some folks are listening, you know, to get law advice or to hear things about the law. But it's members of our community, mm-hmm. just like we are. You know, we could talk to you about this all day, but I guess one thing that I'd like to know and I'd like you to talk about is what is the need for family service, and what's the message that you want to give to the community? Like, is there something you know, maybe seasonally this summer or things that are coming up? Or, you know, what's the message to the Billings community now that you kind of want to get out there?
So I've worked at nonprofit for 20 years, and that question comes up all the time. Like, what do you need? What can the community give to you? And it sounds so desperate, but it's always like, well, money. Money and manpower can make anything happen. My wife and I, like, we had this realization. We were in Rome in 2017. And we were looking at the Colosseum, and we had just, like, asked, how can you do it in this time period? And the answer that we got back from somebody was money and manpower. Like, they had the most money, you know, of any generation or any civilization, and they had slaves to build this thing in whatever time period they wanted. So if you have money, you can really do anything, but you still have to have the manpower to get it done. You can have the manpower, but if you don't have finances to do what we need to do, like, you're still, you know, SOL. But to have both of those things, money and manpower, what all nonprofits need. The nice thing is, you know, we've been very, very financially sound for the past several years. You know, we focus our funds specifically right now on rent and utility assistance and the day-to-day, because right now we have so many partners that are assisting us with food insecurities. So what do we need? We need a lot of manpower. We need folks who are willing to pitch in. It is cyclical. So we see, you know, the majority of our volunteers that are coming out are typically over the holidays. That's the same for most nonprofits. But we still need a steady influx of food. So money allows me to purchase that for pennies on the dollar. But also, if people want to donate, there's so many individuals, there's so many schools, there's so many organizations that do food drives. Those are awesome. I mean, that is never going to be something we don't request for food drives. Clothing drives, really just, it's the same thing that we kind of answer when people are asking us about being on our board. Well, what are you expecting from us? And there's three ways you can give. It's through your expertise, through your pocketbook, or through your time.
Right.
And that's really, I think, what all nonprofits need more of. Selfishly, we're always going to plug, like, well, funding. The best thing that we can also say, though, is that for every dollar that's given to us, only 7% goes to overhead. So 93% of all of our funds go directly back into our programs. We keep extremely tight ship. Same thing for our store. Every dollar that we sell out of the thrift store, 93 cents goes directly back into the programs themselves. So we always like to say that because we want to be good stewards of dollars. We want to make sure that they're going to the places that we say that we're actually using them. And we want to make sure that the individuals in our community are getting those needs met.
You bet.
So this is all great stuff. We're a law podcast. Many people say maybe the preeminent law podcast in Montana.
My understanding is 3 years running on best law firm in the city. Right?
Don't insult me.
Four years now?
No, keep going. Keep going.
Five. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Not that
I always
counting,
drive by and see the billboard on my way home on the overpass.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. You can cut that, Ben.
Okay. No, that stays in.
Okay. I guess what legal needs do you see your clientele facing on a day-to-day basis?
So this was before I started. We actually partnered with Free Legal Law Counsel. I don't know exactly which firm was doing that for us and how long ago it's been. My understanding is it's always kind of tough to offer any free counseling, so I think that's exactly where it kind of went awry. But what we see, a lot of issues are with landlords. One of the things that popped up, and it's coming back again right now, is how we pay for anybody's rent assistance is they've been served an eviction notice. So we cut the check directly to the landlord. We would never cut a check to the individual themselves. Same thing for utility assistance. I'm not giving you $500 to go cover a bill. We're actually going to pay it off through the utility service themselves. But what we're seeing is a lot of property owners are writing into the contract, not in the first year, second year, third year. It might be on the fifth year down the road. They want to jack the price up. And in order to do that, they'll put a little light on them that says they won't accept third-party payment. So they won't let me cover the cost of somebody's back dues.
Interesting.
Which is, we don't understand the benefits of that other than you want to increase the rent and you would like to increase that sooner rather than later. So if you can put something in there that says you won't take third-party payment, that means that you're not going to take it from anybody. So if somebody ever falls on difficult times, you're not going to take any payment rather than from that person themselves. So we've seen that, and we've seen it come actually with the lease that didn't have a line item that said that. So we felt like that would be something that we need to go talk to an attorney about. Other than that one specific that comes up, we do see a lot of individuals who are facing issues just with going through divorces or custody battles, things like that. Mainly property rights, things like that. I'd like to dig deeper, but I'm like, those are the ones that just completely come back regularly. Third-party payments, I don't know why, and that might be something for you guys to look into.
That's interesting. I don't know the rationale behind it. Like, why would they care?
Okay. I'm not sure other than because we're going to make the payment. But if then they break the contract, they can get a new person in there and they can lift the new rate on it. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
We had a lot of questions. I think most of it's been, you know, solved with the water issue the past couple of years. We had somebody bring us a $2,000 water bill. And looking at it, we were like, this is like a year's worth of back pay. So the question to us always was like, well, one, how are you letting somebody get a year behind? Which is, I mean, I guess in our situation, we're happy that the person was able to live in the house for a year, but now they're never going to be able to pay this off if we don't. So we saw a lot of issues with the water over the past couple of years.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of people did. Colin, I know that you have – we've probably got time for maybe one more question here, and I'm sure you have a burning question.
We're not even
question.
Halfway through the outline. What?
I mean – if right. you have more?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep rolling. Just yeah. All right. We're just warming up. Right.
If Family Service had a mascot, what would it be?
If we had a mascot, what would it be? This is going to be from me entirely with no input from anybody.
Yep.
So I was just talking about this. The Bearhawk has been what I've had for like everything for a long time. So that's even my fantasy football name. This goes back to college days with some of the roommates. It was actually started in a class. We were talking about evolution. We were talking about interspecies, and it came up because bull snakes and rattlesnakes were interbreeding, which was like, this is by no means the first time this had ever happened, but like bull snakes were now becoming poisonous, which was crazy. And then ligers, lions and tigers, right, mating. So we were talking about if any species could intermate, if a bear could fly, like that would be like this devastating thing for mankind.
Oh.
So the bear hawk in
Family
general.
Service bear hawks?
The family service bear hawks,
man,
yeah.
Just crusading his poverty.
Nothing
I love
about
it.
This is polite or positive or anything.
Oh, it's very positive.
Yeah, the bear hawk. And it's funny because my nephew's baseball team got voted as the bear hawks. They were coming up with a name 2 years ago. It was actually, I think, Tucker's kid too.
Okay.
But yeah, they were the bear hawks. So I've always loved that name.
I love it. shifting gears entirely.
Yeah, that one wasn't a shift.
Yeah. You're also a well-known food and beverage connoisseur.
Connoisseur.
At one time, you contributed to a blog, maybe you still do, called Better Off in Billings.
Yeah, so Better Off in Billings came from the Ambassadors for Better Off in Billings, which was part of Big Sky Economic Development. That Ambassadors program is no longer. So I'm not currently writing that blog for Food in Billings, but had like 8 different episodes of that. Wrote about the bar scene with your input. And
so that's a question I had. So it was me, you, and our good friend Duncan Nelson. We went around some breweries.
This was strictly for science.
Science, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I know.
All three of us contributed this blog piece. I had an awesome time. Why was I never invited back?
This was always a solo thing that and honestly, I think the only person that's ever really even eaten with me on these is Holly, my wife. The whole goal for this blog, honestly, was to be completely unpaid and give my unsolicited advice about places and buildings. I never wanted to give like a negative on anything and really just eat the places that I wanted to eat at. And that was the goal. I thought this was going to be something we were going to do for quite a bit longer. And then I started getting restaurants who did reach out and they were like, hey, when are you going to give me a chance? And hey, can we cook for you? Which is great. And it was something I wanted to do. But at the same time, then I'm like, well, now you're kind of forcing me to write about you. And if it was a negative experience, I really didn't want to do that. So it was always me solo. But I could just say that your input was so strong and it made my writing skills look so weak that I just didn't invite you back.
Thank you. That's what I suspected.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. What's your favorite restaurant in town?
What's my favorite in town? Right now, my wife and I have been like on a dive. We've just been eating dive restaurants for so long right now. If I go on the non-dive side, I've always loved Walker's. Walker's has always been one of my go-tos. Love Enzo so much.
Shout out Nick Steen.
Nick Steen's an awesome guy. Hi, Nick. We've been eating a lot of, now as I say, dive. A lot of, I won't even give the restaurants names now, but a lot of Mexican food. There's a couple of pizza places that we really, really like. Art House Babcock is not a dive by any means. I'm on the board there. But Pink Patty's Food Truck, they have a secondary location within Art House Babcock. And if you haven't had their burgers, the burgers are fantastic. I just had a new one last week. It's like a steakhouse burger with truffle aioli on it, and it's fantastic. Other smaller places, let's stop calling them dives. La Tinga is one of my favorite go-to places. I love Indian food. So I'm really, really thrilled that we have a new Indian restaurant downtown. 2 new restaurants that are going to open up in the next few weeks. I'm really excited about. There's a pho restaurant opening up, a new Filipino restaurant opening
up. Saw
that,
yeah.
But we kind of been creatures of habit when we travel, we then get kind of stuck on like whatever that food was that we ate the last time. My wife and I were just in the Nordics and the Baltics. So we've been trying to cook a lot of that stuff lately, but we tend to eat a lot of pizza and a lot of Mexican right now.
Okay.
We're actually going to Mexico City in a couple of days. So I've been trying to like get all of my guilty pleasure of like Tex-Mex before I'm ruined for the rest of my life.
Did you eat any borscht?
I had borscht several times when we were in Lithuania and in Latvia, and we had a Ukrainian restaurant in Estonia, which was fantastic.
Oh man, I made a great borscht with venison, you know, a deer that we got, and it was awesome. I was the only one in my family that liked it, but I thought it was delightful.
Like I love elk, but when we go to the venison side, that's huge in Finland. And their native peoples have several restaurants across Helsinki that focus a lot on venison. Some of it was awesome. Some of it was definitely tough, gamey venison.
Yeah.
Reindeer is what all of it is. So.
What's the best movie of all time?
My favorite movie of all time is probably going to still be Saving Private Ryan. I'm a war buff. I really, really like war epics. If I was going to go beyond that, I would probably go something with like Paul Thomas Anderson or Quentin Tarantino. But I'd probably always say Saving Private Ryan. For whatever reason, it's kind of my guilty pleasure. Not guilty pleasure, just to go to a long war epic that's going to make you feel bad at the end of the day. But that's typically what I tend to watch.
Sure, yeah. If you're appointed dictator of Billings, what would be your first executive order?
Oh, man. I would probably go something like towards what I really should focus on, like for my job, and say something like a Medicaid for all or, you know, food for all type thing. If it's a dictatorship, then I can just impose it, right?
And just say it.
Oh, yeah. Just cap food costs, cap gas costs, cap rental costs. Yeah, just everything.
There you go.
Make life more affordable and easier on individuals in the community in some capacity.
So I imagine your job involves fundraising mm-hmm. events. What's your most awkward fundraising moment?
Sending like correspondence to the wrong person. That's like you can get fired for that in this field. And yeah, send somebody like, hey, thanks so much for your donation of this amount to the wrong address. Super embarrassing.
So for context, I'm on the record on a previous podcast that there are some legal phrases that I think are dumb and need to go away.
Okay.
And Latin phrases, what are we doing here? We speak English, right? Get rid of the Latin phrases.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can permanently ban a phrase from the nonprofit world, what would you ban?
That's the way we've always done it. I think that's just not nonprofit. I think that's like in every single world. Well, that's just the way that we've always done it. So we don't always have to do it this way. In nonprofit, you do a lot of event planning, and that's like my biggest no-no is, well, we're doing it this way because we've always done it that way. We'll think different and we can make it different.
So I was trying to guess what you would say. So I've corresponded with, you know, various nonprofits and boards over the years, and about half of the emails involve the term circle back. How many times do you use the phrase circle back?
I don't use it. I can think of like all of those buzz things though that you type like per our earlier conversation or any of those are just, I think, old phrases that probably need to be done away with because we know what we're all thinking when we say that. Like, hey, let's circle back to that really means like you weren't paying attention. I'm going to reiterate what I was saying.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them.
Okay. What's the most overrated sport?
NBA. I don't watch NBA, actually. So I love college. And I know that you're a Nuggets fan. I know you follow basketball. I love college basketball. I love, love, love baseball. And then obviously football is what I'm going to watch the most. Right now, as I'm watching World Cup, I told my wife, I was like, I'd so much rather watch soccer than I would rather watch than NBA. But I only like watching college basketball. And I don't know if it's just that once they get to NBA, like there's no defense. Everyone's, you know, traveling.
Yeah.
13 steps counts. Euro step counts. And that's just me being ignorant, too. I just don't watch enough of it.
No, sure. What's the worst food that everybody pretends to like?
Worst food that everyone pretends to like. Honestly, this is probably a hot take, steak. Like, I feel like we're a steak and potatoes state. It's so easy just to do it yourself. And I feel like if you're going to go to a restaurant and pay like $75 for like a moderately priced steak, everyone, you know, oh, it's so good. You can make it better at your house. Pasta falls that way though, too, at a restaurant. Everyone can make pasta. And pasta is going to get upcharged to like $30. It's like $5 worth of ingredients. And I assure you, if you just work at it, you can do it yourself. But it's always going to be good because it's a ton of butter, ton of salt. Same thing for steak. You can just do it at your house for $10 instead of $60.
That's so funny. Me and my kids are having the same conversation. Whenever you order a steak somewhere, you're always like disappointed.
Yeah.
Like I paid a lot of money and it was
because you know how you want it cooked.
Yeah.
And typically, I think a lot of restaurants, like I want mine rare. Like I want it rare. Like kiss it. And
good vet could bring it back to life.
Like blue. Yeah. And no one really wants to do it because they're terrified to do that. So my go-to question for most staff was like, you need to cook this however like long legally you need to cook it for. And still it'd come back like medium and I'd be pissed.
Last one that I have, I'm sure Paul has a whole lot. This could be a really stupid question. Do you have any gear in your house for a hobby that you don't actually do?
I have a guitar that I never touch.
Okay.
I have a guitar sitting up in my attic that's never been touched. Holly's trying to talk me into buying a drum set because I play drums. And I went and looked at a drum set, like the electronic one, so they wouldn't even make noise. But I was like, this is going to also just sit upstairs and not get touched at some point. We have a piano in the house that Holly hasn't touched in probably 10 years either. So I guess all of our musical instruments that we pretend that we can play, we don't touch them.
Yeah, gosh. My answer would have been cornhole. So I
don't have a cornhole set.
So you show up at a barbecue or an event, and if you're good at cornhole, like, you look so cool, right? You look like you're the boss.
Or you look like the guy that does nothing but plays cornhole. Like, why is this guy so good?
I wanted to be that guy. So I got a cornhole set. You know, I'm like, I'm going to work on my spins, my various techniques, and I just never played it. Eventually, it's got weather ruined, just being in the backyard, unused.
My baseball glove hasn't been touched, and I couldn't tell you how long. But that's, I feel like, that's something that you just have, like, that's going to stay forever. I've worn the same baseball mitt since I was probably in like middle school because my hands are, the same size. Holly tells me like my only hobbies I have right now are cooking and going to the gym. So I'm sure there's plenty of cooking appliances that I never touch. But yeah, all the sporting stuff is probably sitting in my garage right now completely untouched.
Nice. Questions you got, Paul?
Colin, you made the outline and you covered all of them.
All right.
I will say, Ryan, you were not prepped in any way for this podcast. You had no idea what you were getting into. And off the cuff, you are a fantastic guest.
I appreciate it.
Top three so far.
top three all-time guest of the Off the Record podcast.
Yeah, I finished like in the bottom third.
Oof. Yeah.
I've kind of always said like I don't feel like I've ever walked into a room where I've like not known someone. And luckily I've been able to talk for most of my life and don't really ever get nervous in front of rooms, and I can keep talking and talking and talking. That's why we're going to cut this at 30 minutes. So.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, if someone wants to learn more about family service, how can they do so?
Our website's the easiest place to go. So billingsfamilyservice.org. On top of that, just Google us Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. It's the easiest places to find us.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know what? This wasn't planned either. Or on the outline, but if any of our listeners have gotten this far in the podcast, there's going to be a spot on our webpage. If you go to the community tab, you can drop down. There's going to be a code that flashes here at the end. First person to enter that code, we are going to make a donation to Family Service on their behalf. So if you listened that far, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
The donation. Yeah, Ryan, again, people are looking for nonprofits to trust, leadership that is authentic, and you are exactly that.
I appreciate
that. Certainly appreciate you.
That's, and you're completely accurate. Just working at a nonprofit, but, I've been on nonprofit boards and we support nonprofits across the community, and that's exactly right. You're always looking for, people always give, this is an old phrase, but people give to people, not to the organization. And it's because they trust individuals who are actually in leadership roles. When's the last time you gave to something that no one's going to say like, well, I don't support this specific thing, but you don't know them. So typically you're not writing a check to that place. Mm-hmm. So we always really pride ourselves on kind of being as honest as we can be and really do what we say we're doing. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Nope. You need a connection. So make a connection to Family Service. We'll have up, you said you need three things. You need volunteers, you need money, and you need
money, manpower, and support. Yeah.
Money and manpower. So we'll have the, your website up at the end of the podcast here. Thanks again, Ryan. We really appreciate you.
And we're looking for more guests. And if any of our listeners know professional golfer Steven Yeager, tell him to check his Instagram DMs.
Thanks.